Greetings and salutations. Welcome to another exciting installment of Just a Podcast. My name is Just Bob. Very happy to be with you. And as I am recording this, it is Sunday night, November 10th, I guess. I don't know. I don't have a calendar in front of me. But I got back from Sunday football, Breakaway 2 Sports Lounge. That was this afternoon. I had a pretty good turnout, but that's to be expected. We usually do have a pretty good turnout when we are there. And I appreciate that. We're getting into that time of year, you know, where the weather is variable and you don't really know what to prepare for. I don't mind that so much. You know, a lot of people get aggravated when you don't know if it's going to be nice or not or what. But for me, yeah, it's all right. You know, like the extreme months, like the dead of winter, the dead of summer. Not a big fan. But spring and fall, yeah, I'm all the way on board with that. And so we're almost to the holiday season already, which is kind of, you know, it's kind of surprising, kind of not surprising, but kind of shocking, I guess. Like, you know, the time, it goes by very, very quickly. And you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but the more years you put on, the quicker it goes. But I ain't got nothing to complain about, you know, really. I got a new computer for my home studio a few weeks ago, and I finally got a monitor that works with it. Had a monitor here in the house, and I thought, well, just plug that in. No. The monitor in my house is nearly 20 years old. And it really hurts to admit that out loud, but it was like nearly 20 years old and it is utterly incompatible. So I got this deal. It's a smart monitor. And apparently it's got like all these TV apps and whatnot on there, but I just got it because it was really wide. You know, when you're doing a like a virtual studio, a wide screen is good because the more information you can get, the better. And it's all demonstrated horizontally, you know, as opposed to vertically. So if you've got more horizontal room, then you're not going to be zooming in and zooming out so much. And my last computer was an 09 Power iMac, and I got it for free, so I really cannot complain about it. It was given to me by good buddy Blitz Bob, and I used it for several years. I used it for 5 or 6 years faithfully, but you know how Apple is. It was out of date, you know. And with Apple, like once you miss a couple of those, you know, what do they call it? Upgrades, updates. Miss a couple updates, and you're out of the picture. You know, gets to a point you just can't do it anymore. And so I basically hung on to that computer, and I kept on using it until everything that I needed stopped working. See, because what I was using to record audio was, I always forget the name. But yeah, it's the workstation that comes with the Mac. It's not GarageBand, but it's the other one, the good one. I am drawing an absolute blank on the name of this program, and I used it for years. Logic. Thank you very much. There it is. Logic. So now that I have a Windows PC once again, Logic is unavailable to me because that is a Apple only thing, which means I have to get a new digital audio workstation, and there are a lot of them out there, and some of them are good. Some of them suck. Fortunately, I have an awful lot of friends who are musicians or otherwise audio producers of some kind, and I can solicit them for input. You know, I did the same thing. I was shopping for keyboards a few months back, like pianos, you know, like digital pianos, and asked a bunch of my friends who are keyboard players what they would recommend, and then I went ahead and bought the one that I was looking at anyway and didn't follow any of their suggestions. You know, but it's good to be informed, and luckily in this digital day and age in which we live, almost any information about any consumer product can be found on the internet if you know where to look. And by know where to look, I mean go on Google and ask the question 74 times until you get it worded right so that it gives you the information you need. I remember back when in the late 90s, when I had home internet for the first time. This was like 1998. Had home internet for the first time. And I remember Google was primitive, and that's what you had to do. You know, you would put in your search, hit enter, and you know, a bunch of information would come up, and none of it was at all useful. So you had to rephrase your question and do it again and rephrase it, do it again. And so you got good after a while at knowing how to parse these things in such a way that it will deliver to you the information that you're looking for. And so that is why in the fall of 98, I got dumped. And so I suddenly had a whole bunch of free time on my hands that I did not have before. And I spent much of it online. And I can't really say, you know, like I didn't start a startup or anything useful like that. I just messed around. It's funny, but there was like social media was virtually unknown. There were like message boards and chat sites and things like that, but connecting directly with other people was pretty much impossible. You know, like online dating didn't exist. Like none of the stuff, most of the stuff that we use the internet for now didn't exist then. And it's fascinating to me to see the progress that's occurred. You know, as a Gen X person, I'm in the demographic where, you know, we were around before the internet was ubiquitous, and also cell phones and stuff like that. And, you know, these things, these technological items are introduced, and so you adopt them, and you got to figure out how to work them, you know, and all that sort of thing. I always enjoyed that. I remember getting my very first cell phone. This was 2003, and it was this cheapo little Go phone. And I had to, in order for it to work, I had to go to the store and buy a card and put minutes on it. I know some of you know what I'm talking about. And that was a major pain because it always seemed like I would run out of minutes, you know, Wednesday, 2 days before payday. And so I'm walking around with no phone. And occasionally that was problematic. For example, I'll give you an example, all right? When I was working for the Stagecoach, I was leaving work one day. It was payday. And the money was there in my account. And it had just showed up there that morning. So I leave work at the end of my work day. I leave work and I'm going to the gas station because my gas light has been on. It's Friday. My gas light has been on since Tuesday. Now, my commute between my house and my job then was not that long. In fact, it was almost as short as my commute from where I live now to the radio station, which is 7 minutes. And that's even if I hit the red lights. So, yeah, I knew I had a little bit of leeway, but apparently I thought I had more than I did because I pull out of the parking lot and I'm on the road heading towards the gas station and the engine sputters and dies. And I could hear it sputtering, you know, and I'm like throwing the gas on. I'm like, come on, just get me to the gas station. Of course it didn't. So the car conks out and I coasted it over to the shoulder and got out and started walking. And had to buy a gas can, had to go get gas, had to carry the... Luckily, as I was walking to the gas station, some guy comes by, sees me walking away from the car, asks me if I need help. I'm like, just out of gas, so I'm going to the gas station. He said, I'll run you to the gas station, so I caught a ride to the gas station, got the gas can, walked back to the car, put the gas in, and then I had to drive back to the gas station and fill the rest of the tank. And so I get the gas, go to the Walmart, and I get a phone card. And as soon as the minutes top up, the phone rings, my then wife calling, asking me where I am, because it's now more than an hour since I got out of work. And I explain that, well, the car has run out of gas, and so I had to go and get a gas can and then go to the gas station, and I need to fill it up. And I mean, you know, like, you know what entails putting gas in a car, you know, and that's what I did. And she, of course, she starts cracking up laughing as soon as I mentioned that the car had run out of gas. It's like, that's great. That really helps right now. Thank you so much for laughing at my pain. But I will say this. I take that kind of thing a lot more seriously now. That I'm going to knock on wood here, but that is the last time that I've run out of gas all the way up to this very day. So that's a good record, I would say. But it's bad, you know. You can't even afford gasoline until payday because, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. You get in a tight spot, and now we are into November, and World Series. I read this year's World Series got the biggest viewership numbers in the past bunch of years, and I have my cynical suspicions as to why that might be, but I think the main reason is when you got the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers championship series, even if you're not a fan of one of those teams, you're going to tune in anyway and see what happens, which I did. You know, I didn't even watch the World Series last year. I was so upset when the Phillies got knocked out of the National League Championship Series by Arizona. And I'm not one of those people that, put it this way. I'm a passionate sports fan, but I am not one of those people that goes crazy about it. You know, I mean, we've all seen the America's Funniest videos or whatever with, you know, the guy, and I'm not talking about one specifically because there's a bunch of them, but the guy crying and destroying his television, you know, I ain't going to do that. And this was the first time that the outcome of a sporting event affected me that way. And I did not watch another baseball until the following season. I didn't even watch any spring training games. Normally, I will, you know, if they go on. Because a lot of times the games will start early and it's before I go to work, and I'll put it on the TV and have it on while I'm getting ready to leave for work. Didn't even do that. So opening day, first game that I watched. And this year, you know, of course, the Phillies were knocked out of the playoffs again. But I don't know, it didn't hit me so hard for whatever reason. And I guess it's because, you know, in 2022, the Phillies in the World Series, they lose. 2023, knocked out of the championship series. 2024, knocked out of the divisional round after winning the division outright. That really deeply sucks. Okay. I mean, it really does. And for me, I was, I don't know, maybe philosophical about it, because I mean, you know, what can you do? It's a sporting event. I'm not on the team. So, you know, I kind of feel like you have to have perspective in your life. And if you got problems and whatnot in other areas, then, you know, you're your reaction to everything else is going to be out of whack. That is really what I'm straining to articulate here. And that was me, you know. I mean, I had depression and anxiety from all these other things. And so I think it was like a case of, you know, please give me something to celebrate. And that didn't happen. And I was bummed. This year, it didn't happen again. But I knew, you know, can't win them all. Can't win them all. So, again, I think perspective really is the important thing. And that goes for whatever, you know. There's the matter of politics. A lot of people feeling some kind of way or another about the election results. And I certainly do understand. And, you know, if I've learned anything, it is that sometimes the best thing you can do for someone is shut up and just listen to what they have to say. And, you know, try and be supportive and all that stuff. 'Cause I got a feeling things are going to get a little difficult for certain segments of society. And I'm not looking forward to that. And I'm sure probably you aren't either. And, you know, I've gone around in my head about these things. And, you know, I don't really... I think it's too soon to have any kind of like a, you know, practical takeaway at this point. I think probably by this time next year, we'll have a clearer notion of what is going to happen. And some people are warriors. Some people are warriors. I'm the warrior. I used to be. I used to worry about everything. I used to get just crazy, crazy anxiety. And eventually I got help for it. And my brain is adequately medicated and all that sort of thing. But I think it's, you know, it's real easy to, you know, draw a conclusion. The sky is falling. And when all you have is, like, your own, you know, your own inner monologue or what have you, then it's hard, you know. You're in a vacuum and lacking any kind of outside what is the word I'm trying to think of? Like interaction, you know. A lot of times, even a very basic interaction with somebody is enough to sort of put your brain, you know, put the brakes on in your head, and so that you can, you know, sort of get your head straight and kind of figure things out. And so that can be very important too, you know. And I'll be the first one to admit I am a hermit. And so oftentimes, like, I'll give you an example. I mentioned earlier that I was at Breakaway 2 Sports Lounge this afternoon, and that was, without question, the most human interaction I've had this entire weekend. And so even somebody like me who has to, you know, really kind of be dragged out of the house most of the time to sort of like be able to, you know, not kind of get lost in your own thoughts, because it's easy to do that when, you know, there's nobody around for you to have a conversation with. Like, I was really excited, okay, when I got home, really excited about my new monitor. And there was, like, absolutely no one for me to talk to about it. You know, so I'm telling you. But I'll tell you what, I don't really concern myself about that stuff anymore. Because, you know, it's, there's no sort of guidebook for it. So if you're feeling isolated, you know, find somebody to talk to or whatever, because getting lost in your own brain and getting stuck, having really no interaction and stuff like that, it's difficult, you know. And humans are social by nature. That's the way we're wired. So for introverted people who are drained by social interaction, it can be a real tricky thing to navigate. And I, you know, honestly, I didn't really figure out that I was an introvert and to what extent until I was a grown adult. I went through my whole childhood, my whole adolescence, my whole early adulthood knowing that when I'm in a group of people for, you know, a certain length of time, it's usually a couple, few hours, I get a little antsy in my pantsy about, you know, about getting gone. And there have been people in my life that have never been able to understand that. And I've done my best to try to explain to the best of my ability. Hasn't worked out so well. You know how that goes. I mean, it's all a crapshoot anyway. But someone tells you that, you know, they're of a certain condition, believe them. I saw all the time on the socials, I see people sharing their own experiences, and then, you know, someone else is like, no, you didn't. Like, how's that supposed to help? It doesn't. So I'm going to wrap up this. Yeah, this is going to do it here for this installment. But before I wrap it up, I just want to remind you that you're not alone. And if you need help, it's out there. Take care of yourself. Till next time, this has been Just a Podcast, and I am Just Bob.